It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. Children, look, it's Thursday now, and welcome to it. Gary, how are you?
Doing very good, and we got just a plethora of topics. Saudi Arabia decreases oil production. No one F's with Joe Biden. Well, except Saudi Arabia, OPEC, OPEC Plus.
Pete Ducey.
Russia, Pete Ducey, China. We can keep going on there. I will tell you about the squad member that says Biden should have been much tougher with Saudi Arabia. The polling numbers that are near historic
Historic levels.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Historic levels. He always finishes. I'm getting old. He finishes my sentence. Thanks, Jill. the mayor who used taxpayer money to fly first class. Remember that?
Yeah.
And remember, she said the reason that she's using taxpayer money, and this is the mayor of New Orleans, and you're not supposed to do that. I mean, it's written, you know, in the city charter, the law, whatever. You're right. Not supposed to do that. Mm. You're supposed to pay it back. And remember the excuse that she gave is that black women aren't safe in coach.
Right.
She's paying back all the money. So apparently that didn't fly.
Yeah, that didn't fly. That, I get it. I see what you did there.
Yes, that didn't fly. We'll tell you about the chemistry professor who was fired after students said his class was too hard. A new study out there, Biden's energy policies costing the economy $100 billion a year. In this new study, the DACA program found illegal by SCOTUS, plus Elon Musk. And we've got, I mean, there's just a gazillion topics out there right now.
Yeah, it's it really is. It's like, you know, you go to a fireworks show and then you're looking in one direction. It's like you're at a fireworks show, but they keep going off, you know, behind you and to the side. It's never ending right now. And watching the whole Elon Musk thing as however that's going to fall out. Because during the day, slowly people were coming back to, well, if he does this, well, if he does that, and he does this, and he does that. And it's like, I'm still not convinced that he's going to do anything with Twitter, that he was planning on doing before.
Except flipping it?
You know, I think he could. I mean, I think he could invite another. A lot of times there are spinoff deals. He could invite another multi-billionaire to come in. Let's just use Donald Trump as an example. Donald Trump comes in and buys Twitter, and the entire world is on fire.
And renames it. Truth Social.
He just merges the two companies, and then everybody, all the liberals, lose their Twitter and their minds at the same time. I mean, it's I don't know, because one of the things is that you saw since the announcement the other day is now the analysts coming back and saying, well, you know, okay, the valuation, he's way overpaying for Twitter. And that was his concern, and really the cause of the lawsuit is that, well, all right, if you don't actually have that many users, I need to know how many bots are in the system, how many unique accounts there are, how many are actual humans, how active they are, because that goes back to
advertising.
You've got to monetize everything, and you've got to get exposure. You got to get people to respond to that exposure for those ads and everything else. And all of that is a legit concern.
Yeah, but what is the problem here? Because even the letter that was written the other day, which we read parts of it, gives the indication, you are led in the direction that he is, I'm buying it, please don't sue me. And so my question would be, if he's why is Elon Musk way overpaying for Twitter? Why did he come back again if he believes he had a case with the bots? Why did he come back and say, okay, I will pay the full price for it? just don't sue me. And he had lost in court on, right. I think, on almost every single thing in the, you know, the whole pre-trial thing. He kept losing and losing.
Mm-hmm. Didn't go to the in-person depositions. And
right. So my question would be, did he screw it up? Did he write a bad deal that he couldn't get out of? And that's the situation? Because none of this makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think there's probably something in the contract that the public isn't privy to. And that's why Twitter felt like, okay, look, we can take him to court. And the reason we know we can do this is we can force his hand here. And something that hit me yesterday, because when you step back away from it and you look at it as any other acquisition, I mean, it's not, but anytime there's a high profile acquisition or anytime there is a major acquisition in business, it's when you don't hear from the people making the acquisition, when they stop talking, that often means they're in the planning stages and their ideas are being implemented, and or he's looking to implement ideas and put the plan in play. And so him not talking over the last couple of days could be just that. There may be something where he's come up, you know, and said, okay, I'm not going to win the case. And on valuation, I'm not there yet, but I can get there, and here's how. And he's not going to basically lay all of his cards on the table because of all the competition in social media. There could be something, an idea that he has in mind that he believes is going to bring the valuation on Twitter, bring the basically the behavior by the user on Twitter to a new level. And he sees Facebook is struggling right now. They just are. And I think the whole thing on the metaverse is still as weird and odd of a plan as it was the day that they announced it, and everybody scratching their head going, okay, we'd like to be a part of it. The big players, we'd like to be a part of it. We want to benefit from it, but we still really don't know how it's going to work. So it could be that Elon Musk is saying, okay, I'm not going to win the case. My lawyers have advised me that it's not winnable. The contract is going to be binding in the end. Why go through all of this when in the end I'm going to have to do this anyway? I'm going to go through with it, get the valuation up as high as I can and go from there. But I have a plan, and I believe this plan will also bring it to a greater value. And, you know, that's often the case with people. I have no idea if that's the case, but often when they shut up is when they go into the stages, and then next thing you know, they reveal something, you know, on the other side. But that, with a move like this, that's probably going to be at least a year in the making, and that's a year after they close and he takes ownership. Or it could be exactly, you know, what I floated yesterday and then, or day before, whenever it was, and that is he could be looking at a spinoff deal. You know, he has sold a considerable amount of his shares in Tesla, and the world was losing their mind. Oh, my gosh, look at this, look at this, look at this. And it could be that he's looking to turn around and, all right, just start selling his shares and not take it private. I mean, I just think everything is on the table
All I can say is a cursory look, you know, looking at it from, again, a ways back as mm-hmm. we look at things because we're not involved in it. It just doesn't make any financial sense to me. Nobody has made sense with it. And I haven't seen that a lot in the media.
Well, and that's why I was thinking yesterday, it could be that he has a plan and he believes will get it to a greater valuation on the stock and greater, you know, value for the company, and that he's not going to talk about that plan until he's ready to unveil that plan after taking ownership. And because otherwise, I really don't see him going in and taking a hit to the tune of billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. But right now, there are a number of things with his other companies, but especially Tesla, that require his full attention. And, you know, that's, I think this whole thing could be, all right, you hire Jack Dorsey as a consultant? Probably not. But you bring in others who, in terms of advertising, you know, Sheryl Sandberg left Facebook. And I don't know if she's officially gone yet, but she was hired from Google by Facebook because of, you know, what she helped to implement. And that was, you know, the Google ads and Google search and everything else that helped to really monetize Google and catapult them. And it could be that he's got his eye on hiring someone like a Sheryl Sandberg to come in on monetizing Twitter to a greater extent. And that's where he sees creating a greater value for the company. I don't know. These are all possibilities.
Yeah, and my question would be, how?
Well, I'll tell you right now, where they have their ads and how they place their ads, to me as an end user, doesn't make a lot of sense. And it could be just a whole new algorithm. And so, you know, that's, I don't see him taking a major hit unless he's so desperate to get this behind him and he feels like any more time spent on this is going to cost him a great deal in terms of Tesla and the attention required there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like I said, I look at this and, you know, maybe it will make sense. But at the moment for me, I just, you gave all those possibilities and I still shake my head going, I don't get it. Because it's almost if everything we've seen the last couple of days is if he is forced to do it because he signed a bad deal and can't get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's on the surface. That's right. Actually the move. I mean, if you look at it, they were getting down to the wire here and it's like, okay, fine. You drop the lawsuit, I'll buy it. Then that's him conceding.
Yeah.
On the surface, then he's just lost a great deal of money.
Or something that just seems way overpriced.
Yeah, well, the offer to begin with.
Yeah, just
why did he make the offer to begin with at that level?
Ego? Just ask.
No, that's absolutely what everybody points to.
Yeah, just
again, unless he believes there's a greater valuation on reworking the algorithms of a social media company like Twitter. Look, you're not walking in with nothing. There's a great foundation there, but it's not the value that he offered and ultimately will be paying for it.
Biggest story of the day, though, Saudi Arabia decreasing oil production. Excuse me, OPEC decreasing oil production led by Saudi Arabia by 2 million barrels a day, basically laughing in the face of Biden, who went begging there. And now Biden is now begging Venezuela.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to remove sanctions on Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go to these autocratic governments. You know, I'm telling you, the best friend of the autocrats is now Biden, jumping from country to country to country trying to get them to produce oil because he wishes to kill the oil industry and natural gas industry in the United States.
Mm.
And the latest study, $100 billion a year is being taken out of our economy. Tell me that's not anti-American.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
a disaster.
Yesterday was just an absolute disaster. And again, it's just a reiteration. Every single day I go, here we go again. Doubling down, doubling down, doubling down. And will this be the election where America finally says, we need to have a president, even if I disagree with them, that is most concerned with America's self-interest. And he doesn't seem to be at all. None. But the Democratic Party doesn't across the board. So we'll get to that and more coming up, 866-90-RED-EYE.
As the seasons change, so does truck maintenance. Cold weather can affect everything from your batteries and your air brake system to tire inflation and fuel lines. Make sure your tires are ready to roll through winter with the following maintenance tip. Underinflation is a leading cause of tire failures during winter because when the temperature drops, so does your tire pressure. Check your tire pressure before every trip to ensure they're properly inflated and to get the best footprint and traction on the roads. Conduct daily visual tire inspections to make sure you haven't picked up harmful debris on the road. Find a trustworthy tire service provider today so you'll be ready as the seasons change.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Eric Harley here for a new sponsor, Total Tax, Inc. Total Tax knows how challenging it can be to run your own business. Whether it's just you and your rig on the open road or if you operate a fleet, Total Tax can help. They've been helping small business owners like you across the USA since 1991 with an experienced and licensed team of financial and tax experts to help keep your business on track and successful. Whether you need help filing back tax returns, resolving taxes you owe, or staying on top of your bookkeeping and current tax returns, think of Total Tax as your business partner providing you with peace of mind while you're on the road. Total Tax is a family-owned business that understands our independent tradesmen are the backbone of America, and they look forward to serving your financial and tax needs so you can keep our country running strong by providing consistent, personal, dedicated, effective, and ethical service to their clients. Total Tax has sustained an A-plus BBB rating for over three decades. Go to TotalTaxForTruckers.com or call 855-920-4121 today and get a free consultation. That's TotalTaxForTruckers.com. TotalTaxForTruckers.com.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm just reading this here. Biden turns to Venezuela as Europe commits economic suicide by genuflecting to green utopia. I mean, it's just what a headline. Manchin says OPEC plus decision to cut oil production shows U.S. must emphasize energy independence and security.
Mm-hmm.
You had, you know, members of the squad talking about this. We need to have be energy independent, but they mean solar and wind.
Yeah.
Which is impossible to do.
Right, right.
I just, every day I wake up and I see these headlines and I just shake my head and I just, because I don't know if even, you know, I look at the polls and everything else, but I still don't sense I sense Americans are concerned with inflation, but I don't sense an incredible rage that the people that are supposed to be making our lives easier are actually making our lives harder. They contradict themselves on a consistent basis. They lie consistently. As I said, everybody who is paying attention knows that the Democrats absolutely do not want low gasoline prices.
No.
They're lying to you right now. It's just the fact that the election is coming up and they understand they could lose it. But they do not want low gasoline prices. They don't want low natural gas prices. Everybody knows it. Every single Democrat listening right now, because you're listening to talk radio, so you probably pay more attention to the news than the person who is completely ignorant on all the issues. You know the Democrats want skyrocketing gasoline prices. You've got liberals, you know, back in their smoke-filled rooms with their big cigars, sitting there in California saying, yes, go up higher gasoline prices. Go up higher. They don't want this. And so they lie to you. They make your life harder. They do everything to hurt Americans, from the border to the inflation. At one time, Democrats could claim, we're going to spend money on you. We're going to spend money on you. We don't care if we pass it on to future generations. That's okay. Until the point where it got to the, I've now lost more than I've made because of inflation. Your spending has hurt me. And now you have Democrats that wish to get rid of inflation but keep spending.
Mm-hmm.
You may have some Republicans that want to do the same thing too. But it's like, we want magic. Where's the magic? We're upset with what's going on. We need some magic. Can we get some magic to help us get through all of this?
Yeah, and you know, I think even for many that lean even further left, they're looking at it going, all right, I may not vote Republican, but I still have a question. What is my party doing about any of this? Even if you believe that they didn't cause it, which they did. If you believe they didn't cause inflation. Inflation is caused by Russia. If you're going to go down that road, you still are asking yourself, but what is your party doing about it? And that's it. There is, because the response from the party has been, hey, it's not us. It could be worse. And all these excuses, and they're not offering any plan
but
at all.
The polls show America knows.
Yes, they do.
The polls show that America does know.
But for those who are still, and that's not who I'm talking about, those who are still out there going, oh, no, I'm a Democrat, lifelong Democrat, you're still asking yourself, if you're being intellectually honest, you're asking yourself, where's the plan by my party to change it? If you believe that your party's not responsible, at least they should have a plan to fix it, and they don't.
And uncaring. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, maybe I vented a little bit there, but it just, at times it's just you wake up every day and it's just like, God, it just continues. And this is stuff that affects every single American. I mean, Americans are hurting right now. 7 out of 10 Americans looking for extra work. You know, they can't survive on what they're working, working at right now. But I think the more important thing is the United States government working against the best interest of the United States, working against the best interest of our national security, working against the best interest of our economic and energy security. Americans don't seem to care to the Democratic Party at all. They say they care, but you look at their actions and what they do, and they don't. We see what they've done on illegal immigration. We've seen what they've done on defunding the police. There's a reason that crime now has risen right to the top of the. Think about this. Crime has risen in some of the polls above even inflation that's affecting every American. Yeah. And so you've got a political party that doesn't care if you're suffering, economically speaking. They don't care. In fact, if they had it to themselves, we'd be in a much worse situation because they would have spent trillions of dollars more if they weren't stopped by the Republicans and in part by Manchin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though Manchin, you know, for whatever reason, threw out the money for the what was the last bill called? the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah.
When he finally comes around, well, look, I'm really going to toe the line here because spending increases inflation. All right, I've come up with the Inflation Reduction Act that will actually increase inflation. I'm Joe Manchin. It's like, what? And you look at it just across the board. And then the thing is, it's so transparent as to what's going on because they sit there and say, no, we're not going to produce here in the United States. We're not going to produce. Doggone it. Why isn't Saudi Arabia producing more oil for us?
You know, I'll be surprised if Biden doesn't end up going to Russia saying, hey, can you sell us more oil?
Well, look at here. White House accuses OPEC Plus of siding with Russia after Biden failure to get Saudis to pump more oil. OPEC Plus, you're siding with Russia. Biden is siding with Russia.
Yeah.
We have the reserves here to do it.
Well, I mean, look, they were the ones that helped to usher in Nord Stream 2 before, of course, the invasion of Ukraine, but there is not anything here that is siding with the U.S. from this administration when it comes to energy. We go to the Saudis. Nope. Go to Venezuela. Who knows where that's going to go? I mean, it can only go badly. And we've got it here at home.
I mean, what does, and I've worded it this way, tell me one issue where the Democratic Party can make an argument that they're better. I did see in the one poll, remember, it showed that they're up in education by +6. I have no idea why that is, with the liberal transgender activist movement and the focus on the woke critical race theory and the racism that these school districts are promoting. I have no idea why they believe that Democrats, you know, that one's mind-boggling, but that was just really in the one poll.
Is it solely based on a number of people hoping to get relief from their higher education loan?
That could be it, yeah. It's a great point. Yep. They're better in education because they want to take away my debt and transfer it to somebody else. Yeah, you're right. But on the major issues, and by the way, education isn't one of the top issues.
Right.
Okay, it isn't one. But on the top issues, all the top, and you're talking inflation, the economy, border, crime, all those issues. Critical race theory, which is all part of education. Critical race theory, liberal transgender activist movement, really landslide numbers for Republicans.
Yeah.
And if you take the Republicans out of it and just ask, are you in favor of these things, it's even greater numbers saying absolutely not. We are not for this. But it's just, it is, when you see an administration committing, look, the left went crazy because of the words of Donald Trump. Now we have the behavior of the Democrats. Well, because of what Trump says, Trump is a threat to the democracy, right? That's what we hear. Because of the things that he has said, he's a threat to democracy. Well, look at what the Democratic Party is doing. And the Democratic Party is all in line with all their policies on the border, open borders, except for Democrats on the border. As we stated the other day, what was it, Bill Malusian from the Fox LA?
Yeah.
Can't find one Democrat who will speak at all on the border situation. They know it's a crisis. They know it's horrible what's going on. No Democrat. He couldn't get a Democrat to speak on it except Democrats on the border. It's exactly what we told you. The party itself, maybe not the voter, the party itself is for open borders.
And he gave them a shot on a yes or no question. Is the border secure?
Yeah.
And it's a simple yes or no. And they wouldn't answer.
Nope. And then you look at inflation. The Democrats are pro-inflation. How do we know? They want skyrocketing energy prices. They want to spend tons of money, which they did, which gave us that took inflation over the top. And then they want skyrocketing energy prices, except when it gets to be within a month of a midterm election. Then they don't want it anymore temporarily. But they want everything. They want you to pay more for everything. They want you to be hurting. And again, you know, I look at this, I go, somebody can be listening and saying, oh, okay, it's just the usual conservative rhetoric. It's not rhetoric. It's the reality of what's happening right now. It's what they're doing day by day and what their behavior is. And that's why the Democrats are quiet on everything.
Yep.
When you think about it, the Democrats, they really won't discuss the border, right? They want to talk about Trump's words. Trump isn't president of the United States. That's the only thing that they focus on. Trump says what Trump says. Trump may be relevant in the future. He's not now. He's not now in the decision-making of the legislation and the executive orders that is coming out of the White House and the Democratic Party. And all of that is negative, absolutely negative, and hurts Americans. It's un-American. What political party puts together a platform that obviously hurts American citizens and promotes it? I saw Cori Bush was on there. Do you regret to fund the police? She was interviewed yesterday. Nope. It's still great. We all know they wanted to defund the police. That caused an absolute nightmare in the cities. They caused it. They caused what's going on at the border. They caused inflation. They caused the high energy prices. They want all of these things. It's not that, okay, we're just not competent to solve these problems. They created the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the acknowledgement that they created the problem and it's a problem is them backing off of everything a month before the midterm elections, Tell us where we're wrong on this. You can't.
Well, even for the delusional, they prove that they caused the problem. Because if you're of the mind, think about this with the rank and file, what I was talking about earlier. If you're in the delusional state saying, oh, no, they didn't cause it. It was Russia or something else that caused it. Then you, if you apply critical thinking, and by the way, we don't believe you're stupid. Your party does. If you apply critical thinking in that situation, then you have to ask yourself, well, if they didn't cause it, why aren't they talking about solutions?
Yep.
Because they caused it. Why are they pointing the finger? Why are they turning their backs, literally, in the case of the president, on the American people over and over again? Why are they so arrogant saying, hey, there's no problem here. It could be worse. Look outside the U.S. It could be a lot worse, instead of offering solutions, because they caused it. Because this is part of the plan.
And this is, to me, looking back at my entire, you know, my entire life and how much I've been through in politics when I started paying attention, even as a young kid, you know, because my father always talked about, you know, things that were going on at the kitchen table. So probably I was 10 years old, which goes back to the mid-60s, that I've been paying attention. I've never seen a party, a major political party, work against the best interest on every single major issue. Not one issue, but right, every single major issue, they're giving the finger to the American public. And they do it proudly every day. And then when it gets close to an election, they show their hypocrisy and they show the fact that they know what they're doing hurts. Because as you see the president, what will lower the prices? Supply, supply, supply. Well, then we should have a national effort to focus on the supply coming from the United States and not depending on anybody else. We shouldn't be depending on dictators to supply us with what we have. Everybody knows that's logical common sense.
Yep.
Everybody listening right now knows that's common sense. The Democratic Party is saying, no, we need to put ourselves in a vulnerable situation, but we acknowledge right before an election that we need more supply, so we'll put this country in possible security harm by taking the strategic petroleum reserve to record lows.
Yeah.
And he did it again yesterday.
Yep.
To do it again, and then we'll depend on dictators to provide us with the energy that we need. Somebody, please, God, somebody tell me. Oh, and by the way, the liberal media pretends it doesn't exist. They just don't cover it. They just don't cover it. But it's obvious that they work against our own self-interest. And I've asked the question before. If every issue that you stand for hurts Americans, how are you pro-American? How are you concerned? The Democrats claim, and it's a load of poop, that we're trying to protect the democracy. No, you don't believe in the Constitution. Don't give us this. But if you're attempting to do things that hurt the national security, the energy security, the economic security, and the national security of the United States on energy, which is what drives every single successful country, is energy, and you're saying to hell with the supplies when we have more. And you said this during our pre-show meeting, I think, that the only country that Russia is scared on energy is West Texas.
Yeah, I mean, or for OPEC in general.
Yeah.
The nation they fear the most in terms of competition is West Texas.
Yep.
They want the Biden administration and liberals to be in control of energy policy here in the States because they realize that the production would be through the roof, would certainly be greater under a GOP administration and Congress. And this is it. This is what it comes down to. Is the Saudis are basically snubbing, and they're flexing here to the world and snubbing the U.S., snubbing Biden over and over again. And then we want to go to Venezuela?
Yeah.
And pretend that there's not going to be a major ask beyond the price of the oil itself? That's insane.
I just wonder when Americans will finally say we've had enough.
Well,
because the Democratic voter,
yeah,
probably a plurality or majority of Democratic voters do not agree with what the Democratic Party is doing across the board.
Well, these are the same people, the rank and file and the party that were screaming after, you know, we went into Iraq in 2003. They were screaming, well, we're just doing this for oil. We need to get out of the business of you know, foreign oil and not have to do this. And the fact is, now the Biden administration is begging for foreign oil.
From dictators,
and the liberal media is silent.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Coming up, the polling number that really is interesting, record numbers here for Republicans. We'll get to that coming up here. Plus, some of the latest general polling, too, as to what's going on. Reading this here, this one article, Democrats in disarray as comeback narrative completely falls apart. Talking about, you know, the whole thing that, you know, remember when Democrats said we're having a big comeback because the whole election would be about Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
And now they look at it and they say, actually, now the interest in abortion has gone down to pre-Dobbs level. And the economy is just, you know, boom.
It's everything.
The economy is everything. So we'll get to that and more coming up. Plus your calls and comments, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Top of the hour news is brought to you by House Products. Visit houseproducts.com.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA, we're Red Eye Radio. Good morning. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our Red Eye Radio app today, because if you can't listen overnight to one of our great radio stations, you can listen right on your phone and your smart speakers. So just to show you where the situation is, this is the debate going on between Democratic Laura Kelly, governor of Kansas, and the challenger, Republican Derek Schmidt.
Mm.
You ready for this?
All right.
All right, here we go. All right.
But I would say, Nick, while you're finishing being wired up there, this would be a great opportunity for the governor to answer my question. Does she think that we are better off in Kansas and America today with Joe Biden as president?
That is a good question. So answer. That's 10 seconds. In 60 seconds, Laura.
Well, I'm not going to answer that question.
We are going...
Didn't need 60 seconds. I'm not going to answer that question.
It's a yes or no question.
You know, it's that's something we get from the White House a lot. I'm sorry, I have no comment on it. Sorry, we have no comment on
it. Yeah, we're not going to talk about it.
And we're not going to talk about it. I mean, you get that all the time. Democrats are using that all the time now. And it's just it's where they are right now, because they know that they can't support Biden, but they support his policies. That's the whole point.
Right.
It's not Biden. The Democrats, you know, look, identity politics for Democrats goes beyond just judging people by groups. They look at it and say, well, the problem isn't the issues, it's the person promoting it. The problem that we have as Democrats, this is what they're saying, we does not include me as a Democrat. The problem we as Democrats have is the fact that Biden is promoting this stuff and he can't effectively promote it, but people would love all of the where we stand on all the issues if Biden wasn't out there being the one that promotes those issues. And of course, that's false. But they're sticking with that narrative. Here's a question, because this continually just sits in my mind. It has since 2018. And in 2018 is when I looked at you and I said, Eric, the Democrats have to change course. They cannot continue going down this whole identity politics path.
Right.
One of the reasons is, and if you've been a long-time listener to the show, you know this narrative that we have been promoting for the longest time that we believe is quite accurate out there. The Democrats have a victim-oppressor mentality. Everybody's either a victim or an oppressor. And you can be a victor and an oppressor because you're an individual, for example, Trump, and so you demonize him individually outside of everybody else, or you bring everybody else in and say, well, the group that supports Trump are just like him and they're, you know, anti-democracy or whatever, and we're pro-democracy. So it's always us against you. It has to be for the Democratic Party. But the problem with the victim mentality mindset is the fact that you keep creating more victims, you keep creating more oppressors. One of the most perfect examples of what's happened to the Democratic Party is a liberal transgender activist movement, where you have in the LGBTQ community, as we said, and we had said this a long time ago. Remember when we told the LGBTQ, don't add the T. It's going to come back to haunt you. Don't do it. Hey, we're warning these liberal organizations, liberal gay organizations. We were telling them, don't do it. Why? Well, you see what happens now. People might like Martina Navratilova, who was viewed as a victim and a hero when she came out, what, the 70s, early 80s? I mean,
yeah,
40
yeah.
years ago.
Right.
She was viewed as a hero, is now an oppressor because she does not believe that men should compete against, biological men should not compete against women. She is viewed as an oppressor and a transphobe.
And she's also not alone in the gay community.
She is not alone in the gay community, not at all. And then you see what's going on with modern feminism today. Modern liberal feminism was destroyed by the liberal transgender activist movement.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the absurdity. Remember the first women's march after Trump was in, and there was all this unity and, you know, the insane speeches that you saw. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And then the very next year, there was a huge split because they were wearing, you know, the pink hats that symbolize a woman's vagina. And then the next year, there was a huge split because the new feminism believes that not all women have vaginas, that men can be women. So there was a split.
Right.
So the traditional liberal feminism that existed in this country has been completely destroyed by the liberal transgender activist movement, and they are viewed as oppressors to the point, and you knew that it was done after when Gloria Steinem came out. Liberal feminism
was over.
Waved the white flag when she said, oh, no, I believe in the liberal, you know, basically the liberal transgender activist movement, that a man can be a woman because they say so. And as we said a long time ago, when Obama did that with Title IX and the executive order, we said, well, this will be the end of feminism. And we've stated even before that, we were stating that the liberal transgender activist movement would be the end of liberal feminism, because if a man can be a woman whenever a man wishes to, and a man can dictate what womanhood is, and liberal feminists must, or women in general, must submit to the will of the man, then liberal feminism is gone.
It's over.
It's history. And they folded. I mean, I think the speed of which they folded has always fascinated me. Because obviously everybody knows, they all know, a biological man is not a woman. But they could not withstand the liberal blue tidal wave of intimidation that came along.
Well, that's it. I mean, the cancel culture is out. The mob is out. And if you don't join, then they're going to end you. And so everything that you stand for.
And so in 2018, I said they just can't continue this, because if you have more victims, then you have more oppressors. You cannot build a political party by separating people.
No, you can't.
And not only that, then they decided to come up with insane ideas of how to run the country.
Right.
Defund the police, open borders, massive inflation, high energy prices destroy our economic and energy security and national security by begging dictators for oil.
Right.
I mean, it's just you take all of it together, and it's like, and the one thing I think of, because this is where I started on this, where do they go if they lose big in November? Where do they go? That's the thing. There are numerous possibilities as to where the Republican Party can go, because the Republican Party, I disagree with things that come out of the Republican Party, for example. I still think they spend too much.
Mm-hmm.
They don't spend as much as Democrats will, but they still spend too much. They would just get us to the same place slower.
Yeah,
but sure. Still the spending of Republicans in the past have been, you know, and have been, I won't blame them now because they're not in charge, but it's been irresponsible. But you can negotiate and you look at where they stand on the issues. At least you can say, okay, it's reasonable. Not only do you have the identity politics with the Democratic Party of judging people by groups and demonization and not wanting to answer questions and not willing to defend the things that they believe in, the huge hypocrisy right before an election of changing completely what they have been promoting the last, you know, 3.5 years. And all of a sudden, well, we didn't want to defund the police. That wasn't us. What are you talking about? Oh, we've never been against voter ID. What? I don't know anybody who's against voter ID. We've always been for voter ID. And then when they tried to pass that legislation back about 6 months ago, it didn't succeed, but it eliminated voter ID.
Right.
It's just like they want it both ways. They're not being genuine on any issue out there. The border is secure. Everybody knows that's a lie. Everyone knows it's a lie. That's why when Bill Malusian goes around to ask any Democrat if the border is secure, they can't answer. And that's the amazing thing, that you have the identity politics, the victim-oppressor relationship that goes on that can only divide a political party. And at some point, a political party has to unite around the issues. Then the issues that they believe in will actually destroy America, will hurt Americans, and they double down on them, and they pretend that what's going on isn't happening. And then right before an election, they take the opposite position of what they've held for the last 3.5 years.
And pretend that they never held those positions.
Right. I've never seen this ever in a political party in the United States, well, not to this level.
Stacey Abrams is one recent example, and while it was a lawsuit that handed her a massive defeat, it's the same behavior. And denying her behavior, and we played the audio. It's out there for anybody who cares to hear that she's lying. And that the court, an Obama-appointed judge, handed her a massive defeat. Not just a defeat, but went in and crushed every major point that she had built herself up on, that the liberal media had built her up on. Her rise to fame and prominence inside her own party came from everything she was defeated on in court. And now she's saying, oh, well, I know. I never claimed it was. Yeah, you did. All along.
Well, then you had the insanity from all the Democrats on the Georgia election law, mm-hmm. and now completely quiet, not a peep.
Right.
And it was Jim Crow. It was the end of democracy mm-hmm. because Jim, and it was all a lie, and we said it was all a lie. Mm-hmm. And so I guess what it gets down to is not just, we know what the Democratic Party is, which is just pure chaos, but the Democratic voter. This is something that isn't really polled. The pollsters really don't investigate this. When you look, what does the Democratic voter think about what we just laid out? What does a Democratic voter believe? Does a Democratic voter believe that the border is secure? No, they know it's not. The Democratic voter who's paying attention. I'm not talking about the people that are completely ignorant and don't pay attention to anything. But if you're paying attention, you know the border isn't secure. Think about it, Eric, how the conservative media would pound on the Republican Party if the Republican Party was doing what the Democratic Party did.
On every front. On everything.
And because it's not one thing. It's everything that they do, everything is victim-oppressor relationship. Everything is identity politics, judging people by groups and not individuals. And then on the issues. Oh, and so yesterday's heroes become the next oppressor there. It's obvious that's going on. And then when you look at all the issues that they stand for, the America, if you take Democratic Party and Republican Party and Trump out of it, and you simply say, what do you think about this particular thing? You have landslide numbers of Americans who want a secure border, who don't want the country to be causing inflation, that does not want skyrocketing energy prices, that wants American jobs to produce the energy, that does not want to put our economic energy and national security in the hands of foreign dictators, that does not want the defunding of the police, that does not want what the Democratic Party has done. Because the thing is, the Democratic Party has caused the problems that we've seen today on the border, on inflation, on crime, all the things that really, they caused it. What's the Democratic voter thinking right now? And they don't talk much.
Imagine if Trump had been president and the GOP were in control in the House and the Senate, and they passed that $1.9 trillion package, and Lawrence Summers did exactly what he did with the Democrats and said, you shouldn't do this. It catapulted us into incredible inflation. The media would be nonstop on that point. It would be never ending, and they would have Lawrence Summers and everybody else out there. And by the way, the liberal media would have to get in line behind the conservative talk show hosts, because we'd also be calling it
right out,
and them. And we've called the GOP out when they've done this before. And where's the outrage by the rank and file Democrat right now? Maybe we'll see it November 8th. Maybe that's the result. I don't know.
I think another question is, where do they stand on the issues when you have your own party that or do you actually want, does the average Democratic voter, do you want high gasoline prices? Do you actually, is what's going on here what happened in gay marriage? When remember the grappling and all that? No, Obama wasn't grappling. They were lying. Mm. And even the gay activists came out, well, we knew Obama was lying. He was lying on it. Does the average rank and file Democrat understand, do they fully understand that the American public does not side with them and the majority doesn't? So in order to stay in power, they do their policies. They agree with high gasoline prices. The average Democrat out there, do you agree with high gas prices? Do you agree with that the government should be involved in skyrocketing your energy cost? Do you believe in open borders? Do you believe in defunding the police? Do you actually believe in it? But then when it comes to an election, you realize a majority of Americans don't agree with you, and therefore you're okay with your own politicians lying to you about what they actually believe? Does the average Democrat voter, are they in step with the Democratic politicians? That would be the question that I would have, because otherwise, if you're a Democrat, what do you stand for? Where do you stand on the issues? We can look at the Republicans and I can go down where they stand on the issues without question.
Yeah, sure.
But most, for example, have you seen on critical race theory, throwing that out for an example, they'll just sit there and they'll just say, well, no, you're not, that's not what critical race theory is. Well, yeah, the part we object to is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they just won't discuss it. It's like, we won't discuss it. So what's in their mind? Or is it just their brain is firing off electronic signals in pure chaos in their brain? What is it? Because none of it makes sense. There's a complete total lack of any type of logic or critical thinking in the Democratic Party right now. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Hi, I'm Jen Loomis, a transport safety expert at J.J. Keller, and I'm here to share a tip on transport security. Trailer seals are often used to deter theft and maintain cargo security. Typically, trailer seals fall into two categories, indicative seals and barrier seals. Indicative seals are made for one-time use and let the driver or shipper know if cargo has been disturbed, but they are not strong enough to prevent tampering with cargo. Barrier seals are meant to prevent intrusion and often require bolt or cable cutters to remove. Before the seal is removed at the receiver, the driver may be asked for identification and a bill of lading or shipping papers. The driver and the receiver should match the bill of lading or other load-related numbers and paperwork, inspect the seals, and match the numbers with corresponding documentation. Once the paperwork is verified, then the security seal can be broken and the shipment unloaded. You should supervise the unloading process and report any discrepancies to your company as soon as possible. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller & Associates. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by Pilot Flying J and by Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So just, you know, looking at the Democrats' mindset out there, so right now the presidents say, they're doing everything to kill drilling in the United States, as we know. They're doing everything they possibly can to kill it. That's the goal of the Democrats. And then they say, well, because we're having this problem, that means we should transition to wind and solar. Well, then fine, don't take oil from anybody. If you actually believe that, don't take oil from anybody. But if you're going to take oil and you say we have to have oil temporarily, why not take it from the USA instead of dictators? Justify that. Every Democrat knows that's the huge hole in their argument.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're never going to win that.
Right. We're going to take oil from dictators, but not, and we'll kill American jobs that produce that oil that we now claim we need.
Facebook fact-checkers by day, radio hosts at night, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric, I'm Gary, 866-90-RED-EYE. So I saw this Gallup poll the other day, but it wasn't until I read actually the CNN article that was written by Harry Enten, who does does a really good job going through the numbers. You've seen him on there. We've actually played his audio many times. Mm-hmm. He actually does a pretty good job from CNN. Hey, when somebody does a good job, I'll tell you they do a good job looking at the numbers. And he sat there and wrote an article saying Republicans hold a near historic lead on a key midterm indicator. And what Gallup poll did is they asked Americans, what's your number one concern? What is the biggest problem that we have? They don't put a list. They don't give them a list. And as he writes here, he says, It can be inflation, or the biggest problem you see in the country could be clowns. You get to decide what it is. You could sit there and say, "Well, my biggest problem is the fact that Barry Bonds is still considered the home run leader instead of Aaron Judge."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he did the steroids, and Aaron is clean, and so that's my biggest concern. So your concern could be anything.
Okay.
And then you list what your biggest concern is, and then you say who could do a better job solving it. All right? So you don't manipulate anything.
Right.
You don't sit there and box people in by only having five different things. You say whatever you feel the biggest problem is. Gallup then has another twist to that question. They then ask, they followed up by getting respondents to answer which party they think can better handle the issue that they put up as the most important. It is the biggest lead Republicans have had since 1946. 11 points. And we have always looked for, because when we look at the polling, you know, Eric and I will always ask, okay, this doesn't make sense. How did they ask the question? Well, that's a biased way. They should ask the question this way. and you would get a better result. For example, if you say Trump says that the borders are open and we should stop it.
Do you agree with Trump?
Do you agree with Trump? You're going to get a completely different poll than if you say, is the border secure and is the border out of control? And if you put, for example, instead of the Trump, if you say we have had whatever, how many interactions that they've had, you know, the millions of interactions at the border and the number of getaways there, and you simply put out what the facts are, and then you say, do you believe the border is secure? Here are the facts. You believe the border is secure. Will you get a different set of numbers and results than if you ask, Trump says the border isn't secure? Of course you will, because then the bias of a politician and the tribalism of politics gets involved in it instead of just the actual issue. But the 11-point Republican edge, because it's 48% of Americans believe that the Republican Party is best equipped, 37 believe it is the Democratic Party, and the rest believe it's the Communist Party. All right, I just added that in there. The Communist Party was not it. That's...
No, that was a different poll.
This is the biggest, looking at 20 midterm elections now, since 1946 when this question was asked. Only once has the Republican Party had a larger advantage on this question, and this was in 1946 when Republicans had a 17-point lead on the Democrats. I'm going to gather that probably that huge lead was post-World War II, and how do you get people back to work? You know, how do you get the economy going again? I would guess. So take a look at all elections since 1946 in which there was a Democratic president. Republicans ended up with 230 seats on average in the five elections when they led on the question of who Americans trust more on the issue most important to them. That included 1946 when they won 246 seats in Congress. In the four elections when Republicans trailed on that question, they won an average of just 189 seats. This included both 1962 and 1998, which are the two elections in the polling era with a Democratic president when Republicans had a net gain of less than five seats. Democrats need to keep Republicans to a net gain of less than five seats to maintain control of the House in the November elections. The large Republican lead this year may be a bit of a surprise, given what seems to be the electoral landslide. Democrats and Republicans are basically tied on the generic congressional ballot at this point. Democrats have done well in special elections, aided by the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Indeed, it's certainly plausible that Democrats outperform the historical baseline the Gallup question suggests. It's also possible that abortion is fading as an issue, which it is. It ranks seventh when compared to other ideas when Americans were asked to name the issues that were extremely or very important to them in a recent Monmouth University poll. So when you look at it, I mean, it is fading, the number one thing. And the thing is, I don't believe Democrats are underperforming. I believe it's the polling has showed over the last decade, and we went through that polling last week, that who has underperformed in the polls, like 9-1 Republicans have underperformed in the polls as to what actually came out
right
in the election. And we actually looked at the RCP averages of, the RCP, and which is Real Clear Politics, and how they come to the Senate races and what they believe is going to happen. And what they do is they put in the average disparity in the polls, because they use the polls. They say, here's the average disparity. Here's what you come out with. And you look at it, and I think of 48 Senate races over the last decade, eight Democrats underperformed by a margin, I'm doing this from my head, of I believe it was 1.7 or 1.8%. 40 Republicans out of the 48 underperformed by almost 6 points. And that shows you the flaws in the poll, which almost exclusively and by a huge margin show Republicans underperforming. So that's really interesting. I think that polling number is really interesting to look at. All right, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get in here. Other polling numbers that are out there, you and I have looked at, for example, what's going on with the civics poll, and the civics polling is almost staying the same every day for the last week, and we're wondering what the heck's going up with the what's going on with the civics polling, because it just doesn't stay the same that long, and it's been dead 13 points for the last week. And so,
well, there hasn't been, you know, any movement at all, and that's very unlike their own historic methodology. If that same methodology is being applied,
yeah,
you can't convince me that all of a sudden it's just dead even, zero movement, really. And this gets back to the question about pollsters and their methodology, you know, to begin with. That really has come to the surface in the last few weeks, and that is, have they changed it? Are they changing their methodology in order to basically, I guess, ignore the problems right now and not have it reflect the problems? To have it go as fast as it did, where the president was only above water in two states, then all of a sudden, boom, there's a huge shift.
15 points.
And then he is, yeah, all of a sudden he's gained 15 points.
We don't buy it.
No.
No.
Not for a second. Yeah. And it, you know, again, it reeks of, and I'll be interested to see where it goes after November 8th.
Well, I like to see where it's going to be going with gasoline prices going back up again.
Yeah.
They were crediting, well, there's an abortion issue, and then it was the gasoline prices coming down. Gasoline prices coming down may have been a couple of points. There's always that possibility. But when you see the majority of Americans, 7 out of 10, are looking for extra work, when you see that the majority of Americans say just energy prices alone, which just isn't gasoline, it's electricity, that has gone up 15%, that they're having to cut back, not just because of all inflation, but just energy alone. And that has stayed consistent even till now with gas prices coming down. And then with food prices, I just don't see it. I don't see Americans looking at it and said, well, gas prices come down, so this guy's doing a great job, I'm going to change my mind on him. I just don't buy it, because the inflation that we have had has affected everybody. And even with gas prices coming down, it's been a huge burden on American families, which all the polls show, which the polls on Americans looking for extra work shows. None of it, the change in some of the polls to be more favorable towards Biden, none of it makes any sense based on other polls that have been taken. You look at it and go, well, that contradicts what's going on here. And with Biden, doing better in the polling than he did 2 months ago, you haven't seen that apply to the Senate races. No. And so you look and you go, all right, this makes us question the civics poll. And we've had a ton of questions on, okay, what is their methodology? Has it changed? And then the strange things of when they're consistent for an entire week in a row, something seems to be up there. So 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Welcome. Just let you know, in the last segment, Eric got very sick and had to leave. And we hope he is okay, but it just came on suddenly. He's had some upper respiratory problems here, and a lot of coughing and everything else. And in the last segment just realized, okay, he just looked at me. And in fact, he looked at me and, you know, said, you know, gave me the hand signal, break early. And we broke early and he said, I've got to go. So he's just, you know, we hope he's okay. But it's just, I feel so bad for him because he had it last week too. So I know he's been struggling and doing a great job on the air. And I just feel real sad for him because I know how much it just kills him to have to, you know, leave the show like he just did right now. So we hope he is all right. We'll keep you updated. But that, you know, like I said, real quick. And he was just coughing to the point where he couldn't be on the air. It just was, you know, the respiratory problems he's having. So we wish him the best and hopefully he can be back tomorrow and go see the doctor and get it all taken care of. So we will continue here. 866-90-RED-EYE. If you would like to get in on the show today, I don't even remember. I mean, Eric, it's like he left. And I'm like, okay, what were we talking about? Well, we were talking about the polling numbers that exist out there that show that the Republicans on the Gallup poll issue, which was asking the question, and I like the way they do that. I like the way they ask this question because there are no parameters. They ask the question, all right, what's the number one important issue to you? And then you tell them. And so it could be one of a thousand things, but it's what's important to you. And then they ask, okay, which political party can handle it the best? The Republicans have an 11-point lead. The most that the Republicans ever had was 1946 when they had a 17-point lead. I'm going to guess that has to do with the post-World War II economy, soldiers coming back looking for looking for jobs, and a society coming out of, you know, the post-war, you know, military industrial complex. I guess I could say that because technically it was an industrial military industrial complex, and the, you know, the getting back to producing goods and services again was a real, real jolt to the economy at that point. So when you look at that, the 11 points, it all looks good. That looks good for the Republicans. Also, crime. And we know since 2020 and defund the police, it has been a huge issue. But the defund the police and the demonization of the police and the police not being able to do their jobs, especially in major cities, we have seen a drastic increase in crime. And that's shooting right to the top of the polls. We'll have that coming up. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the planet, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric got sick last hour and had to leave. We hope he's okay. Yeah, he said some, like I said, some upper respiratory problems, and he just last hour especially, you could see he was going down, and he kept coughing and coughing. And in fact, I looked to him, and normally if I pause for a second, he's right there. And I look, I go, where is he? And he was with his microphone off, and he was coughing. And then he just said, the two segments ago, just said, hey, end it early. I got to go. So he headed out of here, and hopefully we'll see the doctor, and everything will be okay with him. But it's really the same what he had last week when he missed. He's just been having some of those problems. So it's not, by the way, it's not COVID. He already checked on that. So he already had checked on that last week and has been continually checking up on that. And his doctor knows it's not COVID. So, but hopefully he's back on his feet and back in here because I miss him already. It's funny because when he's not here, if I know he's not going to be here and I start the show, it's one thing. Leaving the middle of the show, it's like what my left arm or my, my right arm, my right arm has been ripped right off. So we'll limp along as well as we can. But we were taking a look at some of the polling out there and we were looking at the one Gallup poll that CNN was actually talking about, which in case you just tuned in right now to give you some background on it. Gallup has been taking this poll since 1946. Well, I don't know, maybe prior to 1946, but they've been taking it for a long time. And Republicans, what they do is they ask, you know, anybody that they poll, what's the biggest concern you have with the country? You know, what's your biggest concern? And it can be anything. They don't give you a list, and you have to pick for the list from the list. They just ask you, what's the biggest problem? And then they answer it. Then they follow up the question with, okay, that's your biggest problem. Who can handle it better? And Republicans lead by 11 points. In 1946 was the only time they led more, and that was 17 points. And so that is looks as a very good omen for Republicans because it's not anybody else trying to dictate to you what the problems of the country are. You get to choose from anything. And if you don't put a list down, if you just ask people that problem, I'm going to guess, and they don't have it in the article, I'm going to guess that inflation. Well, let's put it this way. If 7 out of 10 Americans are looking for extra work, as that poll showed, well, then 7 out of 10 have to say inflation is the biggest problem. The economy, inflation. And you can put that all under the umbrella of the economy. Because inflation is about your economy. Because when you say, how's the economy doing? Well, what do people think of? Well, let me see. Well, it looks like GM's profits were up. No, they don't do that. Looks like the stock market was up last week. Now, people who have 401ks might view it that way. But the average person, how am I doing? My economy sucks? The economy sucks. If 7 out of 10 people, Americans, are looking for jobs right now, it sucks. It's not good. The one thing that I would like to see more detail on is the polling on crime. Because there's a headline from Breitbart. Crime emerges as deciding issue in 2022 midterms with 77% seeing it as a major problem. This was a Politico poll from Politico, the liberal publication. The political poll released on Wednesday found that 77% of Americans believe violent crime is a significant problem in the country. The survey also found that 74% of Americans believe that violent crime is increasing nationally, while 88% think it is increasing or staying the same within their community. Americans also believe that increasing police department funding is one of the top ways to combat the crime wave, with 37% of respondents thinking that it would decrease crime a lot. The poll numbers come out as, Republicans go after the Democrats on their defunding the police, as they should. And this is interesting because it here, multiple polls, and this really has come to the forefront in the last month and a half, where crime is all of a sudden just, you know, boom, the crime is an issue, and its concern has gone right up to the top. In the Rasmussen polling, what was it, about 2 weeks ago? Violent crime came out as the number one issue, even over inflation. And the question that Eric and I were throwing out back and forth to each other was, if it beats inflation, which affects everybody. Everybody is affected by inflation. Then if more, and there's just a couple of percentage points, but if more people believe violent crime is the top problem in the United States, then somebody has to tell me what the polling is in the Democratic cities of America, where the crime rate has gone up, where liberal DAs have more concern for the criminal over the law-abiding citizen. What must the polling be in the cities? I'd like to see the breakdown. If you ask me about my city that I live in, and I live in a suburban city, I live in a city, when I moved to my area, I live in a Democrat precinct. My city is also Democrat leadership. But they have a very, very proactive police department. They never bought into, and remember, it is Texas, but they never bought into the whole defunding the police. I always get razzed saying, well, why did you move into a Democrat precinct? I was one of the first people there. It was nothing when I got there. All the Democrats wanted to move around me, probably for my great influence and my great logic that will eventually convert them to Republican conservative libertarians. I'm being sarcastic. Oh, people across the street, they had the Beto sign up, and then it disappeared, and then it came back up again. Now, they did put up their Halloween decorations with a bunch of skeletons and all that. And so I was wondering, maybe they're not for Beto. Maybe they just wanted to put up the scariest Halloween decorations ever. And so they had these, you know, skeletons and monsters, and these, they have got light effects and everything else. And they figured, oh, well, that's scary. That's Beto. Ah! So the sign reappeared, and the sign moved closer. It moved closer to the Halloween decorations. So I don't know if they decided against it. I don't know if it was just one of the members of the family that put it up, and then somebody objected, and then they put it up again, or whether it's just part of the Halloween decorations, or whether they're actually Beto supporters in the house. Because I know these people, I never suspected that they were far left, ever, ever. And they've been my neighbors for a long, long time. And my point is, to vote for Beto, you have to be far left, because he is for defunding the police. He is for open borders. He is for massive government spending. Everything that the majority of Americans view as being radical is what they are for. So, yeah. Just one other story, though. I just got to tell you this, because I've been sad all day yesterday. I had a very, very, I got notified yesterday, a very, 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 very old friend. I mean, I haven't seen him in 44 years, but somebody who I knew in my youth was a relative of my neighbor's and used to be over there all the time. And as we grew older, we would see each other once in a while. And it's one of the best stories that I have. But he passed away 2 days ago, and wasn't happy to hear how, because he actually died of alcohol poisoning. But it's one of my, when I found out that he died, I was so devastated. Again, I hadn't seen him in 44 years. But, you know, you go back to your youth, and there are those special stories and moments that you have. And as soon as I found out that, you know, he had died, it just came rushing right back to me. And it is one of my favorite stories. Again, it has to do with plagiarism and deceit. But I was in my youth at this time. Well, this... he came to me one day, and I believe he would have been in his first year of like community college. And he came to me and he says, I'm taking an elective course, poetry, and I'm failing in it. And I don't know what to do. I can't write poetry, and I need to pass this thing. And it was the only, I said, why did you take poetry? He said, it was the only thing left, the only elective left. And I understood that, because that happened to me in college. My senior year in college, I had to take arts and crafts. I'm not kidding you. That was the only elective, arts and crafts. I had to make paper mache stuff, and I was paying for my college. I was not happy at all, but I was paying for my college. Can't you give me a course of substance? No, arts and crafts. I took it pass-fail because I didn't have any I had no confidence in my ability to build any arts and crafts, and it was a good thing. I did get a P instead of an F, but I probably was writing that close line. But here he is in poetry, and he can't think of anything. And I'll never forget, I said to him, I said, well, I know what you can do. He goes, what? I said, go back. I said, I've got a bunch of Genesis, old Genesis albums. Let's take the lyrics and you can write that down. Nobody, she's never going to figure out old Genesis lyrics. And this is probably like 1978. So I'm talking about taking Genesis lyrics from like 71, 72, 73. Nobody was going to, I mean, Genesis had already become more of a pop band at that time. And I'm going back to their prog rock days. And I said, yeah, just take some of the lyrics here. So I gave him a bunch of lyrics. I go, here, there's your poem. He comes back a couple days later. I got an A. And she said, now, this is a, you know, this is one of my students with an imagination, and this is really, really interesting poetry that he's writing. So for, I don't know, the last 2 or 3 months, that's what he did every day. And so he got an A in the course. And the last day, God is my witness, and I have laughed for 44 years every time I think about this. I will, and I was laughing yesterday. I was so sad to hear about his passing, but I was so just, I couldn't stop laughing from it because it's one of my best stories. One of his best stories, too, I'm assuming, too, throughout his life. So he comes up to me and he says, I got an A, I got an A, I got an A. And she said after class, could you, you know, right before class ended, could you come up and see me after class? And I said, yeah. So he went up and said, yes. And she said, I just want to let you know that you have a wonderful, wonderful, very, very interesting mind. But I do suggest some psychological analysis, some counseling, because you have some very confused and dark thoughts running through your head. Best thing ever. Oh, I can still remember how we just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. But very sad, though. Very, very sad to hear about, you know, how he died, because unfortunately that was a choice he made. But I found that out yesterday. It's like you just shake your head, and you know, you don't know the challenges that people have as you go through life, and there are people that you meet that are just, you know, you don't end up being friends with them your entire life, but you've had experiences with them, and then you find out that they have passed away. And again, for him, really drinking himself to death. I mean, he went on a drinking binge and passed out, and they brought him to the hospital, and he died. I'm guessing that would be the massive, you know, ether that develops in your head that puts your brain to sleep and then puts everything in your body to sleep. So that was terrible to hear, but it did bring back that one special memory that I'll probably tell now that I, you know, because I'll probably see some of his friends over the next year. That will be one of the stories that if I talk to any of his relatives that I will bring up, because it is just, it is one of my favorite stories. All right, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric is under the weather. He had to leave last hour. He just some respiratory problems and coughing and everything else, and just couldn't continue doing the show. So he's going to go see the doctor and hopefully gets well very, 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 very soon. So keep him in your thoughts. Coming up following the bottom of the hour, the chemistry professor who was fired after a student said his class was just too hard. You know, I want to get back to, we had talked about this yesterday, but we didn't get into this portion of it. And I'm talking about Tony Bobulinski, who was a business partner of Hunter Biden, and is the person who came out as, you know, is the witness that could have, you know, that the FBI interviewed but never interviewed him again after October 2020, when the whole laptop story came out and the media attempted to bury it. Well, he was the one witness. And if you reverse roles and it was a Republican, not only would he have been on Fox, he would have been on every single liberal news outlet out there, and he wasn't. He was just ignored. He wasn't even demonized as being somebody who had something against Hunter Biden. He maybe was demonized a little bit. He wasn't demonized that much. And he came back out yesterday. Here's one of the things that he had to tell Tucker Carlson about why he came back, why he's back.
I'm coming out now because American people still are being lied to about the facts. Right? Nothing's been done. They're still thinking, oh, that deal never happened, or, you know, Hunter Biden was a troubled child. They're not aware of the tens of millions of dollars, the thousands of, you know, pages of documentation and the facts. The DOJ is claiming they had to couch this. They can't do anything near an election. I don't want to be sitting here in December and they actually indict Hunter Biden. And then the American people are like, why weren't we made aware of those facts?
One of the things is, you know, Biden talks about running again. Republicans right now, if you see the numbers out there, Republicans, even if they don't win one of the contested districts, are already scheduled to win 219. That's almost a given of how many seats they have. And the average of what they should win based on what the polls say is another 23 House seats. That's not all of them, but that's on average what they should win. So they'd be well, you know, over 240 in the House. At that point, Biden is going to be investigated. I don't see, and this isn't based on my disagreement, my philosophical or legislative differences or executive order differences with the president. It's basically as we look at these things, which is as investigators, does the evidence lead you somewhere? We look at the evidence that they used in Trump's first two impeachments. Wasn't even in the same universe of what we already know about Hunter Biden and the pathway to Joe Biden and the enrichment of his family through influence peddling. Bob Ulinski is somebody who said, nope, willing to go on oath. I'm willing to go on oath. All this is true. This is what happened. He is the one that is saying the 10%, and this is while Biden was vice president. So it's not in his own private time. This is when he was vice president. He's the 10%. He's a guy that got 10%. 10% went to Joe Biden. He got things done. You know, the whole thing about the housing improvements and things like that that were done, for him, that he benefited because his son had nothing to offer these other foreign governments or foreign companies that were related, number one, to the Chinese government or the Ukrainian energy companies. He had nothing to offer them. He had no expertise in anything. He was the president's son. He was the conduit. You connect the dots. He is the conduit to the former vice president and now president. And you have more ways to connect dots than you ever did with Trump. I believe that a year from now, if Republicans take control, it'll be a totally different ball game for President Biden.
On your smart speaker, say, play Red Eye Radio. And if you're really nice, she might. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Eric is under the weather, so it's just me and you. But talking about Tony Bob Ulinski coming back again, 2 years after, you know, he became well-known, and 2 years after the media refused to cover the New York Post story and Twitter and, you know, censored the story and Facebook did for a part of the, you know, for the story initially coming out and the media really refusing to cover it. And it's the thing that, you know, we talk about today. It's not just, you know, that influence peddling is accepted. You know, I find it interesting that Nancy Pelosi is being criticized by people on the left, you know, and across the board, but even people on the left. Reporters are saying, okay, how come you didn't put through legislation so people in Congress, you know, can't play with stocks? You know, how come you're not doing? Yet here we have obvious attempts to influence peddle to the former vice president and we have the connection of the dots, we have the evidence on the laptop, we have witnesses that are willing to go under oath to say that Biden took money from foreign companies related to foreign governments and his family was enriched because of it, and there's no interest. And you have, compared to what we already know about Biden, they had nothing on Trump for the two impeachments. Nothing. Nothing. Well, he said something. That's what they viewed as impeachable. He said something. And now we know the first impeachment was totally and completely illegitimate. Why? We know it was. Number one, we understand that it's impeachment is a political process. And so you can really do whatever you want. You then may have to feel the wrath of the voters for it. But so far for the impeachments of Trump, they haven't. And we now know that even Gerald Nadler knew, and he didn't deny it. That was interesting because that story came out last week where in the book about what happened during the impeachment, Nadler came out and told both Pelosi and Adam Schiff, this is unconstitutional. We can't do this. This is un-American. You need to have cross-examination of the witnesses. You can't do it. As we have said, they've destroyed the seriousness of impeachment now forever. Impeachment means nothing. That used to be a serious scar. Now it's like, no, it's just another political play. Nadler knew it, which is why he said, you can't do this. Because they didn't have anything on him. And now that we know, because of the laptop, what happened, nobody can justify, you can't even attempt to justify the first impeachment. Why? Because Hunter Biden was trying to, whether on the board of the Ukrainian energy company or dealing with the energy company in China or any of the other companies tied to foreign governments, we all know, was trying to make the family rich. We know that. Nobody's denying anymore that anything we have on the laptop is not truthful and legit evidence. Nobody's saying, okay, it's planted evidence. No one. Nobody's saying that. Everybody knows it's legit. Nobody is saying when Biden comes out, think about this. If a Republican president came out and said, I know nothing about my son's business dealings. And then because of the laptop, the voicemail came out where he made it very clear in his voicemail message to Hunter Biden that he knew about his business activities. Not only did he know about his business activities, but he made an opinion on whether basically he would be clear of law enforcement or not. So obviously Biden knew. He still continues that lie. A Republican president could never get away with that. Ever. You know, I did see, I forgot who posted on Twitter yesterday. Said, look, if you don't know who to vote for and you don't like either parties, always vote for the Republicans because the media will hold them to a higher standard. I'm like, oh my God, that's fantastic. What a great guy. Democrats will let get away with corruption, or they don't care. But you want to vote for Republicans because the media will hold them to a much higher standard than they do Democrats. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was good. So, you know, we all know. And because Biden lied about knowing, and they still stick to it. No, he didn't know anything about it. And there's nobody's saying that the voicemail is a fabrication. No one. Everybody knows that's Biden's voice. Everybody knows it came from the laptop. Everyone knows that he is indicating he knows precisely what's going on in his son's business activities. You've got witnesses, more than one. There's more than just Bob Ulinski. Said, nah, Biden was the big guy. He's the guy that got the 10%. This was a whole family thing. It was to enrich the family, starting with Biden being the vice president of the United States and getting access. Even when they were attempting to impeach Trump, we knew the evidence that existed out there in the State Department, where the Obama administration was worried, extremely worried about the optics. They knew that Hunter Biden had nothing to offer any type of Ukrainian energy company. and they know that his father was point man on Ukraine. Everybody could see the conflict of interest. Everybody knew and went, uh-oh. And I really believe that one of the reasons that they impeached Trump, which I believe will end up being a mistake when we look at history, because history is going to show that Biden was involved in influence peddling. And I don't mean Hunter Biden, I mean Joe Biden. And that was the whole thing. Well, this is because of an election. There's nothing legit here. We know the whole investigation now of looking into Hunter Biden and Joe Biden is totally and completely legit, based on the evidence from the laptop that the media attempted to bury, that the intelligence, the former intelligence agents who are friendly with the Democratic parties tried to denounce as being credible. They were all wrong, completely wrong. Or were they wrong or were they lying? And so when Biden says, I'm going to run in 2024, well, it looks like right now there's no chance of the Republicans not taking the House. There's going to be investigation after investigation after investigation after investigation just on this alone. And this has dots that connect. The only thing that's different these days is Americans always used to be, all Americans used to be universally horrified by corruption. They aren't anymore. Democrats don't care. They don't care. Well, corruption's okay with this guy because it's not Trump. And if it's not Trump, that's all we, you know, it's all we care about. If it's not that personality, I mean, you talk about tribalism on steroids. Nah. We're just not going to cover it. We don't mind that they're not covering it. Everybody knows it's there. Everybody knows where the dots have connected so far all the way up to the vice president. Everyone knows that there are witnesses that are actually exist. Everyone knows that the FBI has ignored the story. Now we know that the FBI went to Facebook and were assuming other social media and let them know. As Zuckerberg said, there's a dump coming down. That means the FBI, who had the laptop, went to social media to warn them that disinformation was coming out. They had the laptop. They knew it wasn't disinformation. And so when it came out, and as Zuckerberg said, he said the word dump. Zuckerberg said it, implying that's what they told him. Not that it was a story, that it was a dump. That dump comes from the laptop. Boom. So you've got the corruption of the media that won't report on stories that are unfavorable towards their candidate. You have the rot inside of the FBI that is attempting to manipulate the media and social media. And you wonder why people don't trust anything anymore. You wonder why. Because it's so obvious. It's not like it's hidden and you can't figure it out. And it's not like it's some wild conspiracy. Everything I've told you is the truth. It's documented. And so if we figure it out, if we always say if the two idiots overnight can figure it out, so can you. And so that, you know, you look at that. We have talked about the two enterprises. You know, think about this with Trump and Russia collusion. Trump never colluded with the Russians. The only people that colluded with the Russians were members or people and surrogates or people that were paid by the Hillary Clinton campaign to find dirt on Trump. The only collusion came from campaign money from the Hillary campaign. The only collusion with the Russians came from that. That's even a bigger unreported story. Most Americans don't know that. If you've listened to this show, you know we've gone through the scenario and we've gone through the numerous enterprises by the Hillary campaign to set up the Trump campaign, to tell lies about the Trump, to create lies, to number one, to finance the lies, to create the lie, finance the lie, promote the lie to law enforcement to get a warrant or to get the FBI to start an investigation where then they would go to the media, the campaign, and say, see, the FBI is investigating Trump based on the lie that they financed and created. Sell it to the media. The media reports the story. Then the campaign comes back and says, that's what Trump is doing. Trump never colluded with the Russians. Now that we know the history of Iggy Danchenko, who got so much of the dirt for the dossier, a lot of it made in a drunk fest. They just made it up. He's the only one that had close ties to Russia intelligence. And it actually, a few years earlier, tried to see if he could get secrets to the Russians. The only campaign that ever colluded with the Russians was a Hillary campaign. You think most of America knows that? Or has that been buried to an extent where they don't know that? And nothing I have said, nobody will debate what I've said is true. We all know it's true. It's not a conspiracy theory. We don't deal in conspiracy theories. We deal in facts. Those facts are out there. And the American public really doesn't know about it. And a significant portion doesn't care as long as it goes after a particular personality. That's why people like Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley, who are liberals, are outraged. They're like, my God, the Constitution applies and due process applies to everybody. And now we live in a nation where the Democratic Party believes, no, due process only applies for people that think like us. Other people shouldn't have free speech. They shouldn't have freedom of religion. They shouldn't have due process. Their opinions ought to be censored. This is a type of fascism that exists in the fascist mindset that exists in the Democratic Party as they accuse the opposition of being the fascist. So I always like to say, tell me where I'm wrong. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Dave in Kentucky. Dave, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Gary. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks for calling.
Love you guys. I'm sorry to hear about Eric today. Hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, same with me, too.
Question I've got, just as a citizen, I mean, I was briefly for a time in my life involved on the good side of law enforcement, a good relatives that used to work for the Bureau and are retired for many years, a different Bureau, I guess you could say, than it is now. But, you know, regardless of who gets in office, how do we remain, how do we as citizens feel comfortable and confident that our justice system will pursue the whole situation, Durham's investigation, and the whole thing with Biden, Hunter, and what have you. Well, I mean, regardless of who gets in office, shouldn't this unfold as a process that keeps our faith in the justice system? And I guess you kind of hope for that. I hate to see the politics drowning it on one side and the other side shining the light.
Yeah, what you hope for in this case is checks and balances. Number one, you would want a non-political FBI management. You don't have that. That's a big problem right now. It's not the rank-and-file agents. It's the management of the FBI.
I understand. That's right. I understand.
So you have that. You have the Department of Justice the same way. But then the third thing that is supposed to be the check on it would be the media. And the media doesn't care about corruption from the left.
It just seems to be drowning us with nonsense.
And so what you hope for, then the checks and balances would be, all right,
the citizens the country's basically speaking up for voting.
Well, no, the House. Electing a different party into there who will look into, you know, what's going on.
To kick off the investigation.
Yeah, that's about your only hope. And then hopefully, you know, special prosecutors like Durham. But I know Durham's come under criticism now that he's only going after, this is early on, and, you know, that he's only going after the small people. He's not going after the people behind all of the corruption in the FBI. So... Yep.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Hey, that's part one of our show. Don't miss the rest. Click part two on our website, redeyeradioshow.com, or Red Eye Radio phone app to hear the rest of the show. And thanks for listening to Red Eye Radio.